Good afternoon. My name is Jonna Beam. I'm with West Virginia University and the West Virginia Rural Health Research Center. We are one of HRSA's six funded rural health research centers in the country. And I have no relationships or commercial interest to disclose. A little bit more about the work that we do. We look at the impact of the environment on the health, especially of rural populations, and we try to inform policy around environmental health related to those rural populations. Our research is in its fourth year of funding. We were funded first in the 2008 funding cycle. So why do we focus on rural environmental health issues? A lot of research tends to focus on urban or metropolitan areas when you start talking about environmental health. However, a recent study by our director, Michael Hendricks, and his colleagues have found that rural counties have significantly greater exposure to potential agricultural-related pollution. Not really surprising, that's where the farms are. However, those farms do pose a risk to the air and water quality, and all of that waste in those feedlots have to go somewhere. So you need to think about that when you're thinking about rural areas. Also, the non-metropolitan areas were associated with greater total and cancer mortality rates across the country. And the air pollution in those non-metropolitan areas also were associated with greater respiratory disease rates across the United States. So why do we focus on environmental health services in the rural public health agencies for this project? Because that is where the majority of the local public health departments serve populations of communities less than 50,000, and that's based on the NACHO 2010 profile survey, that's the National Association of City and County Health Officials. And when you look at the services that those small rural areas are providing, they're not necessarily always providing those environmental health services. 68% of those small town health departments, RUCA code 7 and above, provided health services. When you compare that to all other health departments, 80% of those serve or provide those environmental health services. So we did a two-part project. One was a quantitative piece looking at secondary data analysis of the National Association of City and County Health Officials 2008 Local Public Health Department Profile Survey. And the second was a qualitative piece doing interviews with randomly selected local public health departments across the United States. First, I'm going to talk about the secondary data analysis. We purchased the 2008 data file from NACHO. At the time of this project, that was the most recent that was available. However, just in August, the 2010 was released. NACHO did provide us with all of the data and the weighting protocols, information on the governance of the local public health departments, the workforce variables, and then we looked at specific data elements related to the environmental health activities and the questions we were trying to answer. We did frequency distributions and a chi-square comparison to look at urban versus rural. And we defined urban and rural using RUCA codes, RUCAs 1, 2, and 3 being urban and 4 and above rural. So we ended up with 2,794 records. And one of the first questions that we looked at question of, does your local health department currently employ staff in this classification or occupation? We selected five occupations out of the 13 listed that were related to environmental health. And as you can see, environmental health specialists, there are fewer environmental health specialists in the rural local health departments compared to the urban. And that is a statistically significant difference. When you take a look at the other occupations, when you think about epidemiologists in the rural local health department, there were only 11% that said they employed an epidemiologist compared to almost 39% in their urban counterparts. And that's not really surprising, especially when you take a look at the HRSA 2005 workforce report that said that rural public health departments tend to recruit more on the local basis and rely on the local population to employ, in their staff. And so they're less likely to employ and trouble finding more educated and skilled workforce. The rural health departments also have fewer health educators working with the public on issues like diabetes prevention or smoking cessation. They also have fewer other environmental health scientists or technicians or those entry-level environmental health positions, and all three of those comparisons are also statistically significant between the rural and urban health departments. It's a different story when you look at nurses. Rural health departments are more likely than their urban counterparts to employ a nurse. And this, again, was confirmed recently by the 2010 NATO profile report that showed that 96% of all health departments employ a public health nurse, and that was the second only behind the administrative or clerical personnel. So there are a lot of nurses out in these local health departments. But when you again take a look at those really small, RUCA code 7 and above, the small town rural health departments, you find that there are a larger percentage of nurses compared to the percentage of environmental health specialists in that health department when you look at it related to or compared to all of the other health departments. So the question begins, you think, well, what are these nurses doing? Are they performing the activities of an environmental health specialist? Because that's all that's there in that rural health department. And you need to think about the training and, you know, are they prepared to do the activities that maybe the environmental health specialist is not available. So we also took a look at the environmental health activities, and this is very similar to Carrie's presentation. We talked to, and I didn't say that, you're going to hear a theme here about funding and workforce shortages with this work. But we looked at just taking a look at five activities that were performed directly by the rural health department. And this question asked whether or not it was performed by the health department, contracted out, completed by someone else, and they had the choice of saying a state, local, or other entity, or it was not available in their jurisdiction. So when you take a look at these five activities that were performed directly by the rural health department, you can see that less than half performed any of these five activities. But when you take a look at the same five activities, you see that 90% of health departments perform that, when you look at the whole group, 90% of them are performed or contracted out. When you compare the rural just to the urban instead of the whole group, you can see that there's a big difference between what the rural health departments are doing compared to what the urban health departments are doing. A 10-point difference in land use planning, up to a 20-point difference for that groundwater protection. And again, all of these comparisons are statistically significant between the rural health departments and the urban health departments. So now to the next component. We randomly selected 114 local health departments using the NATO data. We looked at the six different models of jurisdiction, and that is the different relationships between the state and local public health agencies. Our sample was representative of those six jurisdictional models. We also looked at the census regions to make sure that we had an equal representation there, and a population, the population in the jurisdiction was also equally represented. We sent a letter to all of the health department directors asking them to participate, and then followed up with emails and phone calls to schedule an interview either with that director or the person that they designated as the person who was a specialist in environmental health for their agency. So we interviewed 51 agencies in the 26 states that you see in red. The interviews took place in the fall of 2010, and you can see that we covered all four census regions and our border counties to make sure that we tried to get a representative sample of all of the different types of agencies. The interviews lasted between 30 and 60 minutes. We used a prepared script to ask questions around the general environmental health issues in their state and their area, the severity of those issues, their workforce issues and needs. We also ask about coordination and collaboration between the local health department and the environmental protection agencies, both on a local area or local basis and a state basis. And the median jurisdiction population of the 51 that we talked to was 59,755, but taking a look at that, you have to remember that we used RUCA codes and zip codes to assign the RUCA codes, so it may not include those suburban, rural, and urban areas in that figure. So the first question, what are the general environmental health issues in your state? These were the top six environmental health issues that were listed during our interviews. These topics were mentioned 145 times during the 51 interviews, and they ranged from things like well water, groundwater, algae bloom, restaurant inspections, bed bugs came up, indoor air quality issues, lots of administrative issues around funding, shortages, cuts in budget cuts, et cetera. We ask if those issues were statewide or specific to rural areas. And the two that came up when we asked just about rural areas were the administrative issues, specifically funding, and sewage and septic tank issues, licensing, inspections, and things of that nature. A follow-up question was, were those issues more urgent or pressing in the rural areas? And 70% of the respondents did say that they were more pressing in those areas. So here's a couple of examples of the issues that were mentioned. That top one is a pretty hot topic now with the natural gas drilling and the Marcellus Shale, especially here in the East Coast, and the issues around the development and activity and getting the gas out of the ground. And the second, you can see that example, this particular agency had their budget cut by 40% of the previous year, so almost in half. So we asked about shortages. And looked at supply and asked if they had an adequate supply of environmental health staff within their jurisdiction to address their needs. And over 60% did not feel that they had an adequate staff. And you can see from the quotes that the majority have changed their services because of that. They have reduced the frequency of food service inspections, and that came up quite often, so I'm glad that, I'm sure you're glad this is after lunch. So. We ask about reductions in environmental health workforce, and again, almost a third said that because of budget cuts or economic issues, hiring freezes, or retirement, they have had to reduce staff or not been able to hire them. We ask a follow-up of, do you have vacancies in your agency? And although they did say they had vacancies, they're not able to fill those vacancies because of the funding issues that they have. And this, again, has been confirmed by a recent NACHO report from July that says that 55% of local health departments cut at least one program between the time of June 2010 and July 2011. And during the first 6 months of 2011, 44% of the health departments have cut at least one staff person. So looking at collaboration and the questions that we asked, we gave them a 5-point scale and asked them, how would you rank your collaboration on a local level? First, was the first question between their local health department and the environmental protection officials. And as you can see, local, they reported a better relationship than on a statewide basis. Many had positive things to say about their local collaboration, and over 80%, about 80% said it was good or very good. But on a statewide basis, it was only 45%. When you look at coordination, again, on the local level, over 67% said that it was good or very good, and however, only 33% said on a statewide basis it was good or very good, with many more reporting a poor coordinated effort on a statewide basis, and some that said they didn't even know, which is telling that they don't know what the coordination is on a statewide basis between the local health departments and their state environmental health agencies. So some limitations of this work. It was self-reported data at the time of the 2008 profile survey. So that was before the Great Recession really hit a lot of these agencies. So that information is not included in the secondary data analysis that we saw. It doesn't have the policy or regulatory changes that have happened because of the recession. I mentioned this earlier. We used RUCA codes to classify the rural and urban areas using the zip codes, and so that may not take into account that catchment area of suburban, rural, and urban that that would be used to assign, a rural area. And then the interviews really are only a case study because of our small number. We're not able to do any comparisons between rural and urban health departments. And really, it doesn't, we found a lot of good information, and as Carrie mentioned, a lot of kind of commonalities among what the health departments do, but they're all very unique. And so it gives us some direction for future research or future ideas, but it doesn't really allow us to do any analysis. So what can we do about this? We've heard that, the health departments serve less than 50,000 people. We have potential for increased environmental health risk in rural areas. We have shortages and workforce issues in those health departments. So some of the things that could potentially be used to address these issues, integrate those rural health departments with local, regional, or state public health systems. Many times during the interviews I heard, I'm really not the environmental health expert. Well, okay, who is? Well, we really don't have one in our area. So, you know, it really is imperative that we look at trying to integrate those where we can with other agencies in those rural communities, look at best practices, maybe regional centers of excellence as opportunities, look at community health workers or other innovative ideas to put into rural areas to help that workforce shortage issue, and really look at those barriers to collaboration and coordination across the state and local areas. Look at the training programs. We have a lot of nurses in these rural health departments. Are they doing the work of environmental health professionals? Maybe, maybe not. Are they trained to do them the way that they need to be trained? So we need to look at cross-training, make sure we're doing interdisciplinary training activities. Make sure that if they don't have the services, then we figure out who can we train to do the services if they're not provided. Develop some formulas to look at rural areas, and also look at regulations and their impact on the workforce in relation to those formulas. Thank you very much.